If you should die today, where would you spend eternity? And I made up some slips that I was passing out. The front of it is a free trip to heaven, you know. And then on the back of it, we use some free trip to heaven details below. And four things God wants you to know. You need to be saved. You cannot save yourself. Christ died to save you, and repent and believe the gospel. We knocked on every door in Carlisle several years ago when Darrell Flannery was going to be a missionary out of our church. And the attitude of the people in Carlisle was friendly. It was just typical lost people. They said, you know, we don't mind you starting to work. We won't attend, but, you know, we don't have any problem. And that I got from more than one person. But in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, people's attitude changed. And so we printed up some of these and just put them on people's windshields and doorsteps. And then God gave me this here, which if you should die today, where would you spend eternity? You know, no one likes to think about dying, but death comes to everyone. And God tells us in His Word, you know, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And, you know, and we put on the back of our calling card, you know, a little, let me know, you know, what day you're going to die, and I'll come back and talk to you. But the sad part about it is people don't want to realize, as Matthew 25:46, you know, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And we've preached that and taught that and wrote cracks on that and bought cracks on that. But I was talking yesterday to a person that is very dear to me. And I'm concerned about anybody that professes to be saved and have no desire to attend church at all. That's just my concern. And as some of them told me, well, you know, I know that I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. Well, that's good. But I often wonder, where does that assurance come in? Where does that assurance come in that you're going to die and go to heaven, but you don't have a desire to go to church, you don't have a desire to read, you don't have a desire to be around God's people? Where does that desire come from? Well, God says every person born into this world inherited a sinful nature. So we started out on level ground. Every one of us was born depraved, lost, and on our way to hell.
Amen.
1 second after I was born, I began to die. That's just facts, you know, but we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to say that because it discourages. But yet Christ tells us, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And you are, whether you want to admit it or not. I am, whether I want to admit it or not. I am what I think. What I think will be portrayed in my everyday life, either today, tomorrow, or somewhere down the road. So our thought life, the decision that Sister Brenda or Brother Tom made years ago, or Henrietta made years ago. They affect their life now. That's just facts. So it's important. And as we was in the prayer room, and bothers me is that the young people are growing up without mentors that says, hey, the things of God are important. And one thing that young people do, as this old person does, I see what you think, but what you do. And that upsets people. But this sinful nature produces all sorts of evil deeds. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Book of Mark. Mark chapter 7. God says in verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, and murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But because we are totally depraved, all of these things that Mark lists here, we're capable of. And if we think about it long enough, we will act upon that thought life. And I don't expect anybody to say amen, but that's fact whether you agree with it, say amen or not, because our mind, we don't do nothing except it goes through the brain first, the thought life first. You must admit you're a sinner. Admit it is not only to yourself, but also admit it to God. But instead, our thought life, we see the world, and man, I'm glad I'm not like that. I am too. But you don't get to heaven on a curve. You get to heaven when you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if your mind is right, your body will act right. You can control your mind, but not just by saying something. I have a business card with two requests, and I'm going to put it in that box. And I'm going to ask you as the church body to remember that prayer request for 21 days. And I will be shocked if you did that in those 21 days that both of those requests have not improved greatly. And it's all about what I said Wednesday night. Dora's grandma Hope. Up until a few days ago, when I prayed for my grandchildren, I would say, Lord, you know how much I love my grandchildren. Save them if they're lost. But God deals with grandchildren as he does with families. One person at a time. And I said, Lord, I want you to bless my son. His name is James Anthony Vance. I want you to bless my daughter-in-law, Becky Livingston Vance. And I did that with every one of my kids and their our grandkids. See, because when I pray in generality, maybe one person out of that family is in condition to listen. And God certainly can separate. But when God save me, he saved me as an individual. Wasn't nobody else saved that Tuesday morning in my family that I know except me. It's personal. It's personal when my son or my daughter or my grandchildren are lost and on their way to hell. It's personal. And Ava has a name. And Ava has a soul. And I said, Lord, you take Ava and seal her from all the foolishness that seems to be going around. Because she needs to be saved personally. See, we're all sinners. And God said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. He tells it in James 1:15, and sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. When I die, God may allow me to have a massive heart attack to take me out of here. But sin is what will take me out of here. The wages of sin is death. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. You can't be good enough, you know. And I was just talking to two families this week that said, we may come and visit, for we're finding a church that we can worship in. And I may have blocked that visit because I said, you can worship God without being in a certain church. You may not grow, you may not learn anything, but you don't have to be where you agree with everything to worship God. You got to be where you agree with God. And you know me well without saying it. All churches you can't worship in because God is not there. The word is not preached. A lot of things. But for me to worship, it's got to be the word. It's got to be preached. We can feel the Spirit of God present. And we have a burden for lost souls. I have a burden for Tom's kids. I remember when those two little boys were here. I remember when that one little boy looked up and said, I want to be just like you when I grow up. You don't forget that because they grow up. See, there's nothing that either one of those young men can do to save themselves. But if we pray, say now, Lord, direct your spirit into the life of Brian Maresco. Direct your spirit into the life of Johnny Maresco. And God can do that, and the whole family may be going to hell in a basket, but God can save them. Because he saves every individual one at a time. But the Bible said, you know, when the jailer was saved and then his house was saved. Don't know how many children the jailer had, but God saved them one at a time. Individually. Granted conviction one at a time. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. And I know that people know that, but when I talk to people about their kids, they'll say, but they're a good kid. And no, I don't go back and say, you know what the Bible said is, no, there's none good. No, not one. I know what they're saying. My kid is better than most kids. They have some respect and they're responsible, and we do name all of those things. But they're still lost without Christ. Here is the good news, is of the gospel. You know, and I found in my ministry some of the simplest things. People will listen to a certain sermon on sermon audio because of the title. Man, why do Christians have trouble? Put that on and man, it hit the chart. You know why? Because everybody's got trouble. And they think that Brother Vance has got the answer. All I have is what God says. And that's all they need. Why do I make that statement? How we talk to our kids and grandkids and neighbor and friend, words are so important. So important. God's already told us, you know, there's none good. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But here is the good news of the gospel. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. You know, and I remember the lady that when I first started preaching, and I think I shared this with you once before, the real nice lady, she's still living. Her husband died. She's remarried. And God is blessing her because she went through a rough life with her first husband. But she would say, you know, the only trouble of young preachers, all they come up, they just preach the gospel. And that bothered me because the gospel never gets old. Never gets old. But I understood what she was talking about, so I just listened to him. God said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. See, I know that I was going to be saved right on time. I didn't know that. I know that now. I knew that God chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. I know that now. I didn't know that then. And on my desk, I guess the older you get sentimentality or you get something, but I have a picture of Brother Hundley and I have a picture of Brother Bill the Rosted. The first Baptist preacher that told me about Christ. And the first real pastor I ever had. Those two men God used to shape and mold and make my life. For when we were yet without strength, in other words, we were helpless, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, that's exactly what God does. When we are yet without strength, that's why that I tell lost people, give up. Surrender. Just surrender. You're fighting a losing battle. But I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do this. I've got to give up. It's much easier to let God take it away from you than it is you try to give it up. You know, you go to a smorgasbord, there are certain things you don't like, and the person across the other line, man, they're taking a double portion. We all don't like the same thing. But in due time, God will change your attitude. He'll change what is important to you. And the younger generation has got to see that consistently. See, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing at all. You know, in 1 Peter, can't read my own writing sometimes. God said in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 18, God says this, 1 Peter 3:18. God said in the 18th verse of chapter 3 of 1 Peter, God says this, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit," which is simple. Before you're saved, before you know you're saved, before you have assurance, you have died to some things. What was once important is not important to you anymore. What takes up your time is not number one on your list. That's how you know you're saved. That's why most people don't know they're saved. I think I am. I hope I am. I've got a good chance. I did everything the preacher said. But when you read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 and understand what Christ is saying, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." You were unjust. He paid your sins and made you just. You had a note down to the bank and it's due on Friday, and if I paid it in advance, you may go to the bank and the bank would say, "It's already been paid." Christ has already paid. Now, what we got to do, he said, that he might bring us to God. We talk about Jesus, and he's a wonderful Savior, and I don't want to belittle it at all, but Jesus is so important because it gets us to God. And yes, the three are one. The Spirit is God, but the Spirit is important because the Spirit convicts us. The Spirit is what tells me when I'm wrong. But see, when you get so far away from God, the Spirit is working, but you don't hear nothing.
Right.
You're wrapped up in you.
Amen, that's right.
And when that happens, it's not bad preaching, it's not bad church members, it's you, it's me. But God said, "The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So, it's just like Lazarus. Lazarus was dead, they put him in the grave. 4 days later, they came back. And they didn't come back on three because they would say, well, you know, the body doesn't begin to decompose. But on the fourth day, the body begins to decompose. So they want to make sure that he was dead. And Christ said, "Come forth." So he came forth. And God gave him life. God gave that dead man life. And that shouldn't be such a miracle to us because that's what he did to us. I had to die to self. And you don't hear that. You don't read that in the cracks. All you do is go out and you tell somebody, do you believe in Christ? Do you believe Jesus died for you, bled for you, and rose for you? I do. Been saved for 18 years. But nothing has happened. Salvation doesn't work that way. God said, if any man be in Christ, what? Behold, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all, A-L-L, all things have become new. Not all at once, because sanctification is a progressive work. But I ought to be closer to God, know more about God than Ava does at 13. She's only been saved 3-4 years. I've been saved a long time. So why wouldn't I know more? I understand more. I've applied more. So, you know, that's what it is. That's why that, you know, when I told the lady, I said, would you like to have a free trip to heaven? Oh, yes, my mother died three months ago. I would love to go to heaven and see her. Well, you got to die first. You got to die to self first. Just as simple little steps. Just believing intellectually that you're a sinner, that God loves you, and that Christ died for you is not enough. But the world says, you want to be saved? Read John 3:16. God loves you. It says right here, God loves you. All you got to do is love Him back. But that's not what John 3:16 teaches. There's deeper than that. For God so loved the world. What world are we talking about? This physical world, or the world of saved people, or the world of lost people, or everybody without exception? That's why that Paul said, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you rightly divide the word of truth, then that's why that I preach so hard on let the Bible interpret the Bible. What does this verse mean? Find another verse that teaches on that. You let the Bible interpret the Bible, and you'll never find an error, you know. And, you know, when I say those things, there's always somebody, sometimes it's church members, sometimes it's other people, you know. I said, you know, if Brenda did something to me, I don't have to forgive her until she asks me to. And we had a couple members, you know, they called me and they showed me some verses. And I said, you know, me and you need to get together and we need to dissect these verses to see what God is saying. I sinned against Jesus Christ, didn't you? Is that why you needed to be saved? Did Christ forgive you? I don't know. Will He forgive you? That I know. When will He forgive you? When you ask Him. That's called repentance. But see, it's been preached everywhere. Just love Jesus. How can you love Jesus when you're dead in your sins? What kind of love do you have for Jesus? Philo love? Do you have a sexual love? Or do you have an agape love? Now see, none of those things you have to know to be saved, but as you grow in grace and knowledge, Man. You know, one of our presidents, Abe Lincoln, lost his home because he didn't keep up with the deed. He was president. But we believe what we don't know won't hurt us. Somebody lied to us. It's our responsibility to understand so that we can have assurance. And once you know that you know that you know that you're saved, and you know that you love God because He first loved you, then your relationship toward Him will change. It will change. God tells us in Luke 13:3, except he repent, he shall all likewise perish. But he tells us in John 1:12, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, it takes power to go from a dead man to a live man. When Lazarus was dead, why didn't Mary or Martha go to the grave and said, brother, come on up out of here? Why didn't one of the great prophets? They didn't have the power. Only Jesus had the power. See, so only Jesus has the power to take your messed up life and turn it into something prosperous. And what is so wonderful, he's not a respecter of persons. You don't have to have a certain name. You don't have to have a certain bank account. You don't have to belong to a certain country. That's what God does. See, our key is do not put this off. Do it now. And then the next question, you know, when preachers teach something like this or preach something like this, you can imagine people saying, you're preaching to the choir. Sometimes the choir is off key. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you go to a church that got a beautiful choir. I've got a whole CD of the adult choir. Our adult choir. Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was. Because not everybody was on key. If I was up there singing, I definitely wasn't on key. So I didn't know what Mark was talking about. But it's being on key. So God tells us, now accept the time. Now is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. See, you have no assurance that when you leave here today and go home or wherever you may be going, that God will not call you out of here. Or that you're in a wreck and you're a vegetable from now on. So today is accepted day. Today is the day. Whenever you are right now, tell God that you are a lost sinner. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Man, that's complicated. No, it's not. All you got to do is to admit that you're a lost sinner. See, you don't know that unless God has touched you. You're not willing to change unless God has touched you. So, God says, familiar verse that we all know is, you know, it's Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I cannot get to heaven on my works. Can't get to heaven on my good intentions.
Amen.
And, you know, even Carlisle, the city of Carlisle, is probably 85% of the people are belongs to the Christian church. And if I talk to 8 families, 6 of them are going to say, I've been baptized. I'm okay. Don't have to worry about me, Brother Vance. I've been baptized. You know, isn't that terrible? And what bothers me is that poor preacher, his judgment is going to be terrible. I mean, his judgment is going to be bad. Because everybody that is going to hell because he told them all they needed to do was be baptized. Well, as we close, this, what I've said this morning is God's way of salvation. And we'll close with 1 Peter 1:25. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. God says this. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, notice that first part. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It means that word that I heard many, many years ago, it's the same word that you got to hear if you're lost to be saved. Those instructions that Brother DeRossi taught me, Brother Hunley taught me, every revival I went to, every conference I went to, those men who preached the truth. But the word of the Lord endureth. I listened about an hour and a half yesterday of preaching by Harold Harvey. You know, you that got to listen to Harold Harvey preach. You young people that went to camp, you know. Brother Harold, he didn't pull no punches. That's the word of God that'll save you. No watered down word will get you there.